My guess is most of us have not heard from the book of Philemon. So all of those thoughts led me to this series. So I invite you to open your Bibles to the first three verses, verses 1 through 3 of Philemon. And if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy, inspired word. He's the one who's speaking to us. And tonight we read this. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Father God Almighty, as we begin now to work our way through this letter, we pray that you would give us understanding. Help us to receive from this letter all that you intend for us to know and understand. And we pray, Father God, that we would respond to it well, that we would understand ways in which we can apply what we learn here to our current lives today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, my outline tonight is not very creative, but I believe you will find it interesting, and what we're going to go over will help us understand the letter. First, we're going to look at the author of the letter, and then second, the recipient or recipients of the letter, and I'm wording it that way for a reason, which I will explain, and third, the reason for the letter. And we're not going to dig too much tonight into that third point because we'll be digging into that as we go through the letter. But we at least need to get an idea of the reason for the letter, and so we'll look at that tonight as well. And along the way, we're going to consider how we might apply to our lives what we are learning. So first, the author of the letter. It's not hard to determine who wrote this letter. For the very first word of the letter is a name. The very first word tells us. The first word is the name Paul. Hence, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. That, of course, is not a big surprise. We have seen Paul write several letters. However, there is something very interesting in Paul's opening words. Namely, he calls himself a prisoner for Christ Jesus. What is surprising about that is not that he calls himself a prisoner, but that he does so in the opening words of the letter. Paul does call himself a prisoner in other letters. On the screen, I have three examples. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles." And then in the very next chapter, Ephesians 4, verse 1, he again says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord." And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, he explains that he is in prison for preaching Christ. He writes, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison." Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel, and that wasn't a surprise to Paul. Paul understood that Christians are persecuted, and he willingly gave his life for Christ. And therefore, Paul had no problem telling people about his imprisonment. He knew that Christ himself said times like that would come. So Paul doesn't have any problem telling people that he's in prison. But notice that these three examples, they're all later in the letter. Chapter 3, chapter 4. He didn't start either of those letters writing about his imprisonment. And what is interesting in Philemon is that in his very opening words, he identifies himself as a prisoner. Philemon is the only letter in which he does that. In most of his letters, Paul calls himself an apostle, uses his title apostle. I'll show you on the screen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, he says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. In 1 Corinthians, he writes, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. And he begins 2 Corinthians with a similar statement, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. In Galatians, he writes, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. The same in Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In 1 Timothy, he writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God. In 2 Timothy, we again have Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In Titus, Paul writes, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I show you all of that to emphasize that Paul typically mentions his apostleship at the very beginning of his letter. But he doesn't do that in Philemon, not at all. Now, there are three other letters in which he doesn't mention his apostleship. You can see on the screen that he doesn't mention his apostleship in Philippians or in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But one thought on his reasons for not doing it in those three letters is that the other people he mentions may have had more involvement in the writing of those letters. Notice that in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he simply lists his name along with Silvanus and Timothy. So maybe they gave Paul a lot of input in those letters. Notice that in Philippians, he gives himself and Timothy the same title. Servants of Christ. Giving them both a title together may mean again that Timothy had a lot of involvement in that letter. What he does in no other letter is introduce himself alone as a prisoner for Christ. And he could have done so in other letters. He could have called himself a prisoner for Christ in the opening of other letters. From what we know, Paul was most likely a prisoner in Rome when he wrote Philemon, as well as Ephesians and Colossians. You might remember that when Paul was a prisoner in Rome, he was under house arrest. House arrest, so that gave him more freedom. And with that freedom, he wrote several letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon. But again, look at those letters. Paul does not begin Ephesians and Colossians mentioning his imprisonment. Same imprisonment, but he doesn't mention it. At the beginning of those letters, he mentions his apostleship. So again, why begin this letter to Philemon in a way entirely different than his other letters? Different even than his other imprisonment letters. The best explanation, I submit to you, is that Paul gave careful consideration to how he could best approach the specific situation he addresses in the letter. Paul realized that one form of letter doesn't fit all situations. He was writing to specific people about a specific situation, and he gave thought as to how he could best help these people in this situation. In this situation, Paul realized he should not use his authority as an apostle, but instead, he should use his example of suffering for Christ. Paul was in prison to the glory of Christ. Paul was in prison to serve others in the name of Christ. Paul recognized his imprisonment as the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus and serving in Jesus' name. The cost to Paul was not only financial and physical, the cost to Paul was humbling as well. It was humbling to be in prison. Paul offered his whole body as a living sacrifice to Christ. Paul did whatever needed to be done for the sake of Christ and for the sake of all God's people, for the kingdom. And Paul is holding up that example at the beginning of this letter. Paul wanted all of his readers to do all for the sake of Christ, just as he was. Paul thought about this letter. He thought about the situation he was addressing, And he knew his example of being a prisoner for Christ, the cost of discipleship, would help his readers. Paul was writing to people he knew. He was addressing a situation that was full of emotion, and we're going to learn it was full of legality, for the situation has to do with slavery. And Paul wanted all the people he was ministering to know peace and love. He wanted all the people to gladly serve Christ and do what is right in the eyes of Christ for the glory of Christ. This letter is very personal. It involves relationships, Christian relationships. It involves fellowship. It involves love. It involves forgiveness, reconciliation. It involves gentle rebuke, serving one another. In this letter, we see an actual early church event in which fellowship was worked for. And as Paul started to pen this letter, he thought about what title to use for himself to help achieve that Christian fellowship. He realized this is not a moment for him to claim apostolic authority. This was a moment he needed to remind people of his humble service to the Lord and to the whole church body. He wanted the people to know he's writing the letter as Paul, a prisoner for Christ. And we have to remember that as we're listening to this letter. Paul gives us also today a beautiful example of humility, a beautiful example of working with one another with love and respect. We need to remember as we're reading going through this letter, that we are listening to Paul, a prisoner. He is the author. Now, before I move on from the author of the letter, I do want to quickly comment about Timothy. Not said much about him because I actually don't believe he played a large part in this letter. Timothy was with Paul when Paul wrote the letter, and Timothy was likely known by Philemon. And out of appreciation for all of that, Paul mentioned Timothy, and I also believe he wanted his readers to know that Timothy was in agreement with the content of the letter. As a pastor, I can completely understand Paul doing this. Again, what he's addressing in here was a tender situation, a situation of legality and such things, and he wanted everybody to know Timothy is in agreement with the content of this letter. And as a pastor, again, I understand that. God has given us a plurality of elders for a reason. Major conclusions and decisions need to be defined by more than one man. Paul is saying, I'm not the only one who thinks what I'm about to write to you. Timothy, our brother, he does as well. Plurality of leadership, plurality of elders. Now, moving on from the author of this letter, we turn then to the recipient or recipients of the letter. And I'm wording this section that way because the letter seems to be both personal and public. Personal and public. It's clearly personal because Paul is addressing one person. We see that in the fact that Paul uses singular pronouns for most of the letter. For instance, look at verses 4 and 5 with me. In those verses, Paul writes, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. In our English language, the pronouns you and your, they can be either singular or plural. But the Greek language makes a distinction. And these are specifically singular pronouns. Paul is saying to one single person, I remember you in my prayers. He's saying to one person, I hear of your love and faith. And he continues to do that for the bulk of the letter. Look at verse 7 with me. Paul writes, for I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Paul's addressing one single brother. So the letter is very personal. He's addressing one person, a man, a brother in Christ. And when we get to the rest of the letter, we will learn that the situation involves a slave named Onesimus. Paul is making a request as to how the one person should treat a slave named Onesimus. So it's personal, but the letter also has a public feel to it. Paul begins the letter by listing more than one person, as well as mentioning a church meeting in their home. Look at the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2 with me. Paul writes, "To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Three people are named, and a whole church is mentioned as well." And in verses 22 and 25, Paul uses plural pronouns. Look at verse 22. "At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you." Those are plural pronouns. Paul moves from singular to plural pronouns. Now think about that. We see that this letter is personal, and we see it's public. What does that mean? Well, answer, I submit to you that it was a letter to one person that the whole church was to know about. And I ask you to let that sink in. This was a personal letter that Paul expected to be read to the whole church. So how comfortable would you be with that if you were the one person? If you were the one person, how comfortable would you be with that? Personal letter expected to be read publicly to the whole church. How would you like that? As you think about that, I'll make some more comments about the recipient and recipients. You know from verse 7, which I just read to you, that the one person is a brother. So the one person either has to be Philemon or Archippus, because those are the only two brothers who are mentioned by name. And since Philemon is listed first, a safe conclusion is that Philemon is the one person being addressed in the letter. But what about the other two who are listed? Well, because of the very personal nature of the letter, the safest conclusion is that Apphia, the one Paul calls our sister, she is most likely Philemon's wife. And Archippus, we believe, was probably their son, their grown son. Now, that can't be stated as an indisputable fact, but that certainly makes much sense of the opening of the letter. And with that conclusion is the conclusion that there was a church meeting in their home. We can conclude that Philemon was a leader, and together with his wife and his son, they hosted and led a church that met in their home. Paul wrote this letter specifically for Philemon and also for his family and for that church. And this letter would have been, again, uncomfortable for Philemon. Paul was asking Philemon to do something that involved cost, that involved humility, things like that. And what we should learn from these verses is that the church, this church that we're seeing in this letter, was a true fellowship. Paul was gently encouraging his brother Philemon to do something. And Paul wanted the whole church to join him in encouraging Philemon. He wanted the whole church to be a part of this. This is not discipline. This is not a discipline letter, but it's a letter of encouragement, of gentle encouragement. And we should, and here's the application, you see, we should be enjoying such fellowship as well. We are, and our culture getting more private, more individualistic. Our advancement in communication have not made us more public. They've actually made us much more private. And in this letter, we're seeing a historical church event of fellowship. And we should let that spur us on. Fellowship isn't always comfortable. It's not always comfortable. Again, Philemon had his letter right to the church. But fellowship is beautiful. Fellowship is needed. Now, this church was obviously not big. It met in Philemon's house, so it's different than our church. But that doesn't mean we cannot learn from the fellowship we see here. And I pray that we will, as we go through this letter, I pray that we will learn from this, from the fellowship we see in this letter. I pray that the love and forgiveness we see in this letter, that it will spur us on to enjoy the same. And let us also learn from this short letter how important the church is. As I explained in the Apostles' Creed series, Christians need to be part of a church. We are not to be lone Christians. We are to be a known, recognized member of a church, part of a church. We see that in this letter. Churches existed in Paul's day. Now, they didn't have big buildings like we do, but those churches existed. The church is important. Your participation in church is important. It's significant. We all Christians need the church. It's our body. And we need leadership in the church. Again, a plurality of leadership, which I mentioned a moment ago. We need that. Paul was a leader. Timothy was a leader. Philemon was a leader. And they watched over each other. They ministered together. They ministered to each other. Paul is writing a letter to Philemon, one of the leaders. They're watching over each other. We need that as well. We learn that by looking at the recipients of this letter. And now tonight I also want to just briefly introduce you to the reason for this letter. Again, the letter involves a man named Onesimus, who Paul mentions by name in verse 10. You can see his name there in verse 10. We're going to learn together that Onesimus was a slave. Philemon was his master. And Paul wants Philemon to treat him as his brother. So one of the questions we're going to have to answer as we go through this letter is, does this letter teach us about slavery? And if so, what does it teach us about slavery? That's one interesting question as we go through this letter. What is it about slavery in this letter? And then second, what about other issues of justice? We see Paul here deal with a specific matter of slavery. So what does this letter teach us about other issues of justice? Are there lessons in general here about such things as just other justice issues? I believe we will find this letter interesting in that way as well. I will tell you right now that this letter is not going to give us definite answers. It's not going to give us definite answers, but it will give us very thought-provoking examples. Thought-provoking examples. And I'll also tell you right now that the main theme is not slavery. That's part of this letter, but it's not the main theme. I submit to you, the main theme is fellowship. Fellowship. Paul wanted Philemon and his family and his church to know what he says in verse 3. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to enjoy that as one body. This letter was inspired for us to know that as well. For us to enjoy grace and peace from God the Father with each other. May this grace and peace, this fellowship, deeply, richly, constantly happen here at First Church. May we enjoy the fellowship we have in Christ Jesus. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank you that your holy, inspired word includes such specific situations as we see in this letter. We pray that as we look back in time and see your servant Paul dealing with this situation and Philemon and the others dealing with this situation, we pray that it would open our minds to see what we need to be doing and how fellowship works. And we pray that we would grow through all of this. May we enjoy the grace and peace that we have together through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you be gracious to us in that way. We ask you for that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.